Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earl continue to practice social distancing, and we limit our gathering for our safety and our community's safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. Today's scripture reading comes from Ecclesiastes 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. It seems as though the past spring has brought about a new challenge that the world faces, a new topic to preach on, to pray on, and to experience. But in my contemplation on today's sermon, I came to a realization that many of today's top topics have always been real, existing, and preachable topics. Racism has always existed. Unjust brutality has always existed. And sadly, it continues to exist today. But what we've seen in the past week is an increase in brutality from the top down, toward not only citizens of our nation, but to human beings. The purpose of the democratic government is to protect the people. It's not supposed to be to remain powerful over the people or to gain more power than the people. And I can hear the arguments coming already. But Pastor Joel, what about the looters and the rioters? Yeah, those people, too, are still human beings. Some of them angry beyond understanding about how they've been treated, even in 2020. Some of them have alternative motives. Too many to discuss today. But again, they're still human beings. I find it interesting that some people are able to allow a system of increased violence against some people because of the actions of a few other people. This week we saw peaceful protesters attacked by police officers, National Guardsmen, military police, and unidentified federal law enforcement officers. The big announcement of force being used against its citizens of this country came from someone in a rose garden who walked to a damaged church, took a picture with a Bible, and walked home. Now, I don't care that the upside-down Bible was held in a picture as a prop. It's a book that has been mass-produced. It's available to read on the internet and our phones. It's a book that has been left by millions of travelers in their hotel dresser drawers. We don't handle our Bibles with gloves, and we don't worship our books. That talking point distracts us from the inhumane treatment of people. I don't even care that this guy had his picture taken in front of a church. If anyone wants to have their picture taken in front of a church, you're welcome to come to the Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earl and have your picture taken. Since we haven't been worshiping there since mid-March, you'll have to excuse the untrimmed bushes. But it's a nice backwoods church. Where I do care is if in order to have your picture taken, for whatever reason of your choice, in front of our church, you intimidate and cause physical harm to people to get there, that's when I care. And I also care when you encourage the behavior and try to normalize violence against others to do that. This week, we've continued to hear people say, and perhaps you've even thought it, but all lives matter. Blue lives matter. What about the officers killed by black people? And those statements continue to completely miss the point of what is going on around us. We are in a different season. Yes, all lives are supposed to matter. But right now, we continue to see a system in which that isn't true. In the history of this country, black lives have not mattered as much as white lives. No matter how far we think we've come, that point is still true to this day. And yes, police officers' lives matter, like any human life should matter. But when a system is broken and people are hurt by the system, we as a people might balk at it and try to reform a system that's broken. This does not devalue any life or any police officer's life in any way. So nobody ever said a police officer's life doesn't matter. That message is just distracting and takes away from the real issue at hand. Any violent loss of life is tragic. However, as we've witnessed in the past 2 weeks, in excruciating detail, the Minneapolis Police Department was caught on video using force on a black man that was not necessary and killed that man, and then lied about the incident in their report. And the PD, the police department fired them fairly quickly after the incident, but it took much longer for arrests to be made than it would have been if any citizen, let alone a black citizen, would have caused those deaths. And seeing that play out with an officer with his hands in his pockets for 8 minutes and 46 seconds while a man said, "I can't breathe," it's opened the wounds that have always existed in our society, that we have allowed to fester, that we have continued to wrap in bandages to pretend it doesn't exist. And if we remove those bandages that we've continued to pile on for decades to hide the actual problem that found that we have not healed it at all. What I've seen online from many people who have denied that white privilege exists over the years, in the past 2 weeks, is finally a realization that it does exist. The white privilege isn't something that is chosen. It exists. This is a huge step in the right direction if we are to change the system in which we live. Acknowledging the problem is part of the battle. For any mother or father to watch the video of George Floyd pleading for his breath, his life, and losing his battle with both is a difficult tragedy to see. Nobody should have to die that way. Nobody should have to witness that happen, nor experience it happen to their family members. But the honest truth is, I've never had to worry about my daughter dying at the hands of police because the system we live in has told me that because of the color of her skin, she will be treated with care. But as our society finally awakens, we are finally starting to realize that there are far too many parents who have to worry about how their children will be treated, if they will live, if they will be harmed for no other reason other than that they were black. This week, I listened to George Floyd's eulogy by Reverend Al Sharpton, and it was moving. And the scripture he used was Ecclesiastes 3. I want you to hear a portion of his take on the time.
But I'm more hopeful today than ever. Why? Well, let me go back. Reverend Jackson always taught me, stay on your text. Go back to my text, Ecclesiastes. There is a time and a season. And when I looked this time and saw marches where in some cases young whites outnumbered the blacks marching, I know that it's a different time and a different season. When I looked and saw people in Germany marching for George Floyd, it's a different time and a different season. When they went in front of the parliament in London, England, and said it's a different time and a different season, I come to tell you, America, This is the time of dealing with accountability in the criminal justice system. Stephen, years ago, I went to march. Now, I remember a young white lady looked me right in the face and said, "Nigga, go home." But when I was here last Thursday, and Miss Carr and I was headed back to the airport, I stopped near the police station. And as I was talking to a reporter, a young white girl, she didn't look no older than 11 years old. She tagged my suit jacket, and I looked around, and I braced myself. And she looked at me and said, "No justice, no peace." It's a different time. It's a different season. I want you to remember something. You know, I was late last October to an appointment because the time changed. And I was still, my watch was on the wrong time. You know, once a year, time goes forward. And if you don't, Congresswoman Omar, move your watch, you're going to find yourself an hour late, not because your watch was wrong, but you had your watch on the wrong time. Well, I come to tell you that are sitting in Washington talking about militarizing the country, thinking that you can sell wolf tickets to people who's had enough of abuse, I come to tell you, you can get on the TV, but you on the wrong time. Time is out for not holding you accountable. Time is out for you making excuses. Time is out for you trying to stall. Time is out for empty words and empty promises. Time is out for you filibustering and trying to stall the arm of justice. This is the time. We won't stop. We gonna keep going until we change the whole system of justice.
This past week, I called upon one of my old seminary acquaintances. He's now a pastor at St. Peter's AME Church in Minneapolis, just blocks away from Cup Foods, where George Floyd was murdered. And I asked Reverend Robinson how I could help. What could we do to help? I was ready to head to Minneapolis to stand in solidarity, to use the white privilege that I own for good. No justice, no peace, right? And he said, "Right now, this neighborhood is wanting people to stay away so it can heal and rebuild." He said, "But we are actively trying to help feed people and get them supplies." He said that the only grocery store and pharmacy in the neighborhood was no longer functioning, and he was trying to care for his community. I'll hopefully have more information soon if you're wanting to help out. And as we spoke, I told him of this epiphany that I was noticing in our area where people were finally starting to understand the injustices that occur and starting to understand what white privilege is, not just what it sounds like. And he said, "If you really want to help, you need to have a virtual town hall now and have discussions about it. Connect with a black church and bring this conversation up now." So this week, I'm reaching out to a few churches to see if we can put together a town hall conversation so we can figure out what to do with the revelations occurring as of late. For everything, there is a season and a time. Our time is up for this Sunday. I hope you find our messages refreshing and at least interesting or thought-provoking. Human beings are not made to agree on everything all of the time, but we have been given ears to listen and brains to think with, and it's time to use both of them at the same time. On behalf of the members of the Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle, we welcome you to stop by and visit when we begin meeting in person again. During our live worship service online today, we will be blessing the communion elements. Between 12:30 and 1:30 this afternoon, I'll be in the church parking lot administering communion to those who drive through the parking lot. Each communion element is individually wrapped for sanitary reasons, but I would be honored to be in communion and break bread with you today. the United Church of Christ, a just world for all.